Hello and welcome to The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm Dinah Jansen, and with me is CFRC Local Journalism Initiative news producer Jesse Bell. This regional news program features news from Kingston and area provided by local and regional journalists through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Welcome and enjoy. Hello and welcome to The Corridor. I'm Dinah Jansen, and today I'm joined by Local Journalism Initiative producer for CFRC, Jesse Bell. Our first story today is from CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative reporter Christina Laurie, covering an interview with the creative team behind the Talkin' Back with Johnny Mac.
Artists and curators are returning to the site of performance art series Talkin' Back to Johnny Mac after nearly 10 years to put on a second exhibition. Talkin' Back to Johnny Mac 2 is a series of performances set in City Park, revisiting the site of the former Sir John A. Macdonald statue, which was taken down in 2021 after local activists called for its removal and Kingston City Council ultimately agreed. The first iteration took place in 2015, when the statue still stood in City Park. Despite being spread across the country 9 years later and the statue being taken down, the original curators and artists are reuniting in Kingston to reignite the conversation surrounding historical monuments. The project has gathered a dynamic group of artists, including original contributors David Garneau, Leah Dechter, and Peter Morin, alongside newcomer Jimmy Kilpatrick, to engage the Kingston community in reflection and discussion through performance art. The exhibition will include performances ranging from spoken word poetry to karaoke, and the week will finish off with a lecture in Stauffer Library. Talkin' Back to Johnny Mac 2 is also being presented in partnership with the Agnes Etherington Arts Center at Queen's University. I sat down with curators Dr. Aaron Sutherland and Dr. Sebastian DeLine to discuss the return of Talkin' Back to Johnny Mac, running next week from October 21st to 25th in City Park. To start us off, I was wondering if you'd like to introduce yourself and give a bit of background on your work.
So my name's Aaron Sutherland, and I'm an independent curator and associate professor in the Department of Art and Design at the University of Alberta. I curated the first iteration of Talkin' Back to Johnny Mac when I was a PhD student at Queen's in 2015. And I'm looking forward to kind of bringing the conversation up again.
And hello, everyone. My name is Sebastian DeLine. I'm the Associate Curator of Care and Relations at the Agnes Etherington Arts Center on campus. So I am Aaron's co-conspirator and coordinating curator on the ground. And it's a pleasure to speak to you all today.
Awesome. And it's been 9 years since the first iteration of this project. What sparked the idea to bring it back? What's the story there? And Aaron, what brought you back on board now that you're based in Alberta?
That's a good question. I think that a lot of things have happened in Kingston since the original performance series. Specifically, the statue has been taken down of Johnny Macdonald. And I was really interested in just revisiting the conversation. So many people have been involved in this conversation beyond and outside of the performance. My performance series is just one small kind of drop in the bucket of the conversations that went on and have continued to go on about the legacy of Johnny Macdonald and the statue in Kingston. And I wanted to kind of just revisit it and see where the performance artists are now in their relationship to the statue and to Johnny Macdonald and to their performances that they did 9 years ago. I think that the conversation around toppling monuments has really changed since the original conversation, and more monuments have come down. And also the conversation about counter monuments has really kind of ramped up, or maybe not even ramped up, just changed. And so we've been, as communities, been looking into the legacies of these monuments and the legacies of these colonial kind of people that we've in some cases iconicized or heroicized. And I wanted to just continue that conversation that was started 9 years ago.
Yeah, and Sebastian, did you have anything in on those beginnings sparking the idea to bring it back?
And I'm curious to think about how the artists will respond, in thinking about futurities. In my mind, I often think about things not so much only as what has happened in the past, but where are we going forward from here? So I think it's a pretty exciting opportunity now to revisit the relationship to place and the relationship to the land and to this urban land environment, and thinking about that from an artist's perspective on where they envision that going forward. So I'm really excited to see what they come up with.
Yeah, and it's not just the curators coming back, it's also the performers coming back. Do you have all the original performers from 9 years ago?
Not all of them. I have two, three of them, and then a new artist. So Leah Dechter is back, Pierre Morin and David Garneau. And then we also have a new artist, Jimmy Kilpatrick, coming.
You were saying it's sort of a mystery to you what these artists are going to do. So are you kind of waiting in suspense?
Well, I know a little bit about what they're going to do. As a curator, I definitely know what they're going to do in general, but performance artists also kind of feel the audience out and respond to the moment. And so they could, alter their performances in the moment. And I'm just, I think what Sebastian said about futurities is really important. It's not necessarily like reflecting on what's happened, although that's part of it, but also looking forward to the future. Like, I really liked how you said that, Sebastian, because I think that's really where we're at, is how to move forward in time, and think through these things. So yeah, I do have a general idea about what they're going to do, and I think, but it's nice for audience members to be surprised. But we've got like a karaoke a party coming, and as part of a performance, we've got spoken word, we've got kind of like an installation style performance. And I'm a scholar of performance art, and we've got lots of different kinds of performance art coming.
The statue was removed in 2021. You guys were talking about looking towards the future. I was wondering why return to the site as opposed to, moving on to another monument, or, what's the importance of reigniting this conversation at this specific site in Kingston?
Well, one of the conversations that Aaron and I were having leading up to the second iteration and revisiting the site is some of the activities that happen now. And one of the things I was sharing with Aaron is that it's interesting is when the monument was removed, they actually still, the basin on which the monument was placed is still present. And it's actually become a kind of a site where community gathers on a regular basis. You'll see vigils there. You'll see community activists coming and using it as a kind of a platform or a soapbox in which to convey their own messages, and take up that agency themselves. And I think that that's a very, interesting transformation that's happened to that place, that it still has that kind of activity, only it's transformed into this one, solitary figure of history, of a particular kind of Canadian history, into a place where that's a lived, living, existing history in which everyday people can also take up that space. I don't know, Aaron, what do you think?
I love that. I love that it's being used. I moved away from Kingston, so I don't know exactly how community is using it, and I feel really honored to come back and be part of this kind of movement to using this space for community and for conversation. I completely agree, Sebastian. In Pierre Morin's original performance, he repurposed the statue into kind of like a pirate broadcast station to speak Indigenous knowledges across Turtle Island. And the colonial monument only tells one version of history, and it really speaks to a very specific notion of who John A. Macdonald was. And I think with taking it down and now providing a space for, like Sebastian said, living histories and living communities to have various conversations, it just really opens up the space. And there's lots of different kinds of conversations that can be had there. And so I just kind of want to add a voice to the already amazing conversations going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think most folks, especially in Kingston, know what you're talking about when you refer to these conversations. I was wondering if you could get a bit more into detail about what this conversation is, as well as what folks might be able to take away from the performances coming up in October.
I think that there'll be lots of different kinds of conversations going on because it's different people. From my perspective, I'm looking to think through the process of why we have monuments, what monuments are have been created, what monuments have been taken down, and then also how people respond to these monuments. Sometimes the monuments are invisible, and they're like historical remembrances that or narratives that get retold. And I'm looking to create alternative or space for alternative narratives.
Yeah, absolutely. And sort of circling back, because we were talking about, why come back to the original site, and you were saying how the space is used today and how fantastic that is. But why not go to Bellevue House? Why not go to one of the buildings named after Sir John A. Macdonald, Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard? Why return to this site?
That's such a good question. I think it's because of the place of the kind of plinth that's there, it and where it sits. It's kind of that this the corner of this intersection. You can kind of walk towards it or come across it. But also it has basically a stage built for us, that we can take up space. So I do totally understand your question. And I think that maybe future iterations of performances about this kind of these narratives could happen. But for right now, I think coming back to the same site, brings up the original show, and then also uses the space that is already being used to have conversations, but then also looks forward to the future. Like what do we do from here?
I could add to that if I
Yeah,
can.
please do.
Thinking about what Aaron is saying is an interesting proposition. Instead of always necessarily changing a location, sometimes it's an interesting way to revisit and change a changing context of a place and time. So the proposition of being able to arrive a decade later in the same place is going to have a different context and a different political space of gathering and time and place than we are right now. And it's in this moment where those conversations also then carry on from 10 years ago, but then into where we are now. And I think that that's a very special kind of proposition in terms of the history of performance art too. I don't know, Aaron, you know more about that subject matter than I do, but I would endeavor to say that there are fewer performance art pieces that actually have a durational kind of revisiting component as well, like that, and also in a ch the changing of a context of a relationship to a particular place.
To hear the full conversation about talking back to Johnny Mac, please check out the October 24th podcast edition of The Corridor, available on all major podcast streaming sites. Thank you to Christina Laurie from CFRC 101.9 FM for that story. Up next is Dinah Jansen reading a story from the local journalism initiative reporter for YGK News, Owen Fullerton, about the reopening of Roswell's rehearsals at 700 Progress Avenue.
Thank you, Jesse. After a nearly 2-year closure, Roswell Rehearsals has reopened its doors to local musicians. Anita and Trevor Johnson, the owners of Roswell's, took over the rental of a space at 700 Progress Avenue on October 1st, just a few weeks before they were set to hit their 2-year anniversary of the closing of the first iteration of the space. Since then, the Johnsons have been relentless in trying to find a different home for the rehearsal center, something they felt would sorely be lacking in the music community without Roswell's existing. Navigating zoning laws and landlords unsure about hosting a music business have proven to make the search more complicated than they ever would have expected, but they found themselves coming full circle as a result of an extensive search. After this arduous search, Roswell's ended up in the same building it was in originally. Anita Johnson said ending up essentially back where they were 2 years ago showcases just how difficult the zoning bylaws make it to find a home for a business like Roswell's. While the pair became excited to hear that they might fall under the city's rezoning of creativity centers, they found that that had them seeking out commercial spaces that weren't a fit due to the price and the kinds of businesses they'd be neighbors with. With some guidance from the Kingston Music Office, they also looked at potentially exploring exemptions at certain buildings, but it didn't go very far and could have been an expensive route to follow. Finally, though, Roswell Rehearsals is officially back in business, and last week the first sets of bands were welcomed into the two practice rooms currently offered within the space. The plan is to eventually take over more of the building, and the Johnsons are currently crowdfunding to try and build more usable rooms. And thank you to Owen Fullerton for that report. Up next is Jesse Bell reading a story from the LGI reporter for the Napanee Beaver, Sarah Williams, that provides information on how to access care in Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington Township without a primary care provider.
Thank you, Dinah. Over 2.5 million Ontarians lack access to a primary care physician. Luckily, in Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington, there are still several ways to access health care. The Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington Ontario Health Team is focused on attaching all residents to primary care while helping those without a family doctor find the care they need. Residents without a primary care provider can access various services through health homes, walk-in clinics, pharmacies, specialized access clinics, and community outreach programs. These programs offer general health services such as prescription refills and wellness checks, as well as mental health support and specialized care. The FLA-OHT is actively working with partners and local health organizations to continue attaching residents to primary care providers. These providers can be either at clinics or at health homes, as space permits. Health homes are a new model of delivering primary care, where people have access to a team of health care providers close to where they live, ensuring convenient, accessible care for residents within designated geographic boundaries. As capacity allows, people will be attached to health homes based on neighborhood geographic boundaries that each health home serves. This process has been largely successful, with more than 6,000 individuals having been successfully attached to people-centered health homes across the region in the last year. The FLA-OHT continues to encourage people who do not have a primary care provider to register with Healthcare Connect, the provincial program to help people find a family doctor or nurse practitioner, by calling 1-800-445-1822 or visiting the website. Residents in Frontenac, Lennox, and Addington will continue to be attached to primary care providers through several streams, including Healthcare Connect, local rostering events, and referrals from specialized centers and initiatives. For those in Greater Napanee, there is the Greater Napanee Health Home Access Clinic located in the Napanee Area Community Health Center. This clinic can help with non-emergency issues from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Do make note that it is closed from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. each of those days. For a detailed list of clinics in the region, please visit the FLA-OHT website. Thank you to Sarah Williams for that story. Over now to Dinah Jansen with a story from the local Journalism Initiative reporter for the Brockville Recorder and Times, Keith Dempsey, about the Township of Leeds and Thousand Islands agreement to assist with winter maintenance services for the Township of Front of Young.
Thank you, Jesse. After a successful trial run, the Township of Leeds and the Thousand Islands will continue to lend a helping hand to another township for winter maintenance. Last week, Council authorized staff to enter into an agreement with the Township of Front of Young, home to Thousand Islands National Park and Browns Bay Provincial Park, to provide winter maintenance services for a period of four winter seasons. In 2023, staff became aware that Front of Young was facing challenges regarding winter maintenance of its roads resulting from a shortage of workforce and an aging fleet. Staff began exploring whether greater efficiencies could be found by incorporating a portion of Front of Young roads and use of its sand dome to round the number of updated plow routes from 8.5 to 9. Based on the findings, a proposal was presented to Front of Young where the township would service certain segments of Front of Young's roads at an hourly rate of $165 plus sand and salt usage calculated using the equipment's onboard computer system. The township would also have access to Front of Young's sand dome for additional loading requirements at the same rate for materials. The agreement was run as a trial for the 2023-24 winter maintenance season. Front of Young indicated satisfaction with the service provided and displayed an interest to move forward with a four-year agreement. Both parties agreed to an increase to an hourly rate of 4% for the upcoming 2024-25 season and annual CPI increases for the following years. A benefit is recognized through this partnership with reduction in average length of plow routes from 97.2 kilometers historically to 86.7 kilometers with the revised plan. And this reduction, staffers say, provides the municipality with faster response time on average and a reduction in driver fatigue.
Thank you to Keith Dempsey from the Brockville Recorder and Times for that story. Over now to the local Journalism Initiative reporter for CJAI-FM Amherst Island, Ted Evans, with a story about the Community Grant Committee's request for a $50,000 grant from the Partners in Mission Food Bank.
Loyalist Township's Community Grant Committee will be backing a $50,000 request from the Partners in Mission Food Bank. The recommendation will be brought forward to Council's meeting next week. Due to growth they've experienced, the food bank has outgrown its current space and has had to purchase a larger one. The new building requires renovations such as new walk-in freezers, offices, a client shopping area, and larger spaces for volunteers to sort food and build food orders. Councillor Lorna Willis described the committee's discussion around the decision.
There was some discussion because the actual facility they're building is not located in Loyalist, but they do provide service within Loyalist, so it was determined by the committee that it was appropriate.
A $60,000 grant for the Cattle Rockway Region Conservation Authority for their well decommissioning project was not supported by the committee. Willis explains.
Basically, the discussion with the committee was they didn't think that it fell within the realm of what the grants are intended for.
This was also the case for a $3,000 request from the Ernestown Barracudas Swim Club. Willis describes why their request didn't fit the requirements.
Primarily because the speakers that they're bringing in, it's not a public event, it's only a private event, and the policy doesn't allow for private events.
Willis notes why the committee chose not to back Kingston Gets Active for a $9,700 request.
The bulk of the money was being paid to a person who was being contracted to do work for them. And it's always a fine line because one of the considerations in the grant policy is it's not to provide wages or salaries. And so it was determined by the committee that we didn't believe it really fit within the guidelines of the policy.
Among other requests the committee will be backing were the Amherst Island Recreation Association requesting just over $2,500 for their Jingle and Mingle event, Lennox and Addington Resources for Children requesting $2,000 for food for their Early On program, a request for just over $5,200 from the First Amherst View Bath Scouts Group, and the Loyalist Skating Club of Amherst View requesting just over $2,500 for their end-of-year ice show, plus costumes and equipment storage rental. Willis describes the importance of community grants and why the committee exists.
One of the things about the grants is they're really intended for things that the township would not normally have funds to do. And that's one of the, you know, that was part of the discussion that the committee had in what we should be funding and what we shouldn't. But that's kind of the window that we look through is this something that we wouldn't normally be able to do that adds some vibrancy to the community.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans.
And thank you to Ted Evans for that story. Next up is Jesse Bell with the CFRC Environment Canada weather forecast for the Kingston region.
Thank you, Dinah. This is the Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. The short-lived run of unseasonably warm and bright weather appears to have come to an end as Thursday, October 24th brings a daytime high of 11 degrees, dropping down to negative 1 overnight. Friday, October 25th has a 40% chance of precipitation and a daytime high of 12 degrees. That 40% chance of rain will stay consistent overnight, dropping down to 6. Saturday, October 26th, we're going to see a high of 10 degrees with a 60% chance of precipitation, dropping down to negative 1 overnight. Sunday, October 27th, an 8-degree daytime high also hovering around 0 overnight. Monday, October 28th, we'll see a daytime high of about 13 degrees, and it will be sunny, dropping down to 2 degrees overnight. And Tuesday, October 30th, we will see a high of 16 and an overnight low of 8. This concludes the Environment Canada weather report. Sending it over now to Dinah Jansen for CFRC's community concert and events calendar.
Kingston Community Health Centers will host a senior social group for individuals 55 plus from 9:30 to 11:30 p.m. And on Thursday, starting at 7:15, folks can enjoy Dark Night at Fort Fright, a weekly event running through Halloween. Enjoy scary attractions with costumed actors with your family and friends. Tickets start at $30. And the Domino Theater is hosting performances of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde through November 2nd. Tickets range from $10 to $20. And of course, the Grad Club right here at Queen's University is running its free and hugely popular weekly trivia night every Thursday, starting at 8 o'clock. On Thursday, check out Ben Kaplan along with Princess Towers at Broom Factory from 7:30 to 10 p.m. Tickets are $25. The Saxabells are also playing a free show that evening starting at 5 p.m. at the RCHA. Jen Calder is also playing live originals and special favorites for free at the Grizzly Grill from 8 to 11 p.m. on Thursday. On Friday, October 25th, the YMCA will also host its weekly fresh food market from 9:30 to 12:30, a great opportunity to get fresh food at great prices. And also on Friday, Pumpkin Inferno at Kingston Penn is still running various days through the end of October. Check out amazing hand-carved pumpkin exhibits with family. Admission is $16 to $21. Coming up on Friday, you can see Miel Azevedo, Lily, and Dillygaff for free at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 onward. The mansion also hosts a short walk to Pluto, the Vanier's in Montgomery on Friday, starting at 8 p.m. Tickets are $15 at the door. Slush Puppy Place will also have the Arkells with Poolside playing on the Big Feelings Tour on Friday night, starting at 8:30. Tickets start at $41. Also on Friday, KPP Concerts presents Sky Wallace and Ash Malloy at the Broom Factory starting at 7:30. Tickets are $20. On Saturday, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, there is a casting call for a short film called A Christmas Story in Kingston. Actors of any gender that look 14 to 19 years of age or 30 to 50 years of age can head over to Pedalworks Cafe and Studio between 2 to 4 p.m. Inquiries should be directed to info@creatopiastudios.com. Also on October 26th from 9 to 2 p.m., the Sydenham Women's Institute is holding their Fall Craft and Bake Sale, an event showcasing a variety of local vendors selling homemade artisan gifts and delicious homemade baking. The event takes place at Golden Links Hall, 4186 Colebrook Road in Harrowsmith, and admission is free. And also on Saturday, October 26th, don't forget to head over to the Broom Factory between 1 and 3 p.m. to hang out with lots of amazing bands at the Music Merch Market. CFRC will also be there DJing. Stop by our booth. On Saturday, you can check out the Big Fat Horn Band for $30 at the RCHA starting at 8 p.m. Also on Saturday, the Grad Club presents My Chem Echo Romance featuring Echoes, Hollowood, and Shook Planet from 9:30 onward. Tickets are $15 at the door. You can also enjoy the live premiere of Austin Wintory's Traveler, a Journey Symphony at the Isabel. Tickets range from $10 to $52 that evening. And also on Saturday night, the Mansion is hosting a pop-punk emo night featuring Monac, Futura Free, The Backsteps, Alterna, and The Listen Ups. Tickets are $10 for this five-band show starting at 8:30. And on Sunday, check out some lovely folk music by Eric and Megan at the Cove Inn, a by-donation event starting at 5 o'clock. And Roswell Rehearsals is also hosting an open celebration jam at their new space. Tickets are $20 and the fun starts at 4 p.m. And on Sunday, get up and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. with your friends. Folks and families can also head over to Fort Henry on Sunday and multiple dates through the end of October for Fort Fright to check out the Ghouls and Goblins special effects and sound and amazing actors starting at 7:15 through 11 p.m. Admission is $25. Also on Sunday, October 27th, the team at Martha's Table Community Program will host the annual Empty Bowls Fundraiser 2024 at Doubletree by Hilton at 1550 Princess Street. Come and support a great cause while enjoying a variety of soups, take home a handmade bowl from the Kingston Potters Guild, listen to live music, and bid on amazing silent auction items. Tickets can be purchased at marthastable.ca. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event you would like to add to our online or on-air calendar? Reach out to us today via CFRC.ca. And don't forget to follow us on CFRC on Instagram at CFRC Music. And that's a wrap for this week's edition of The Corridor, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Don't forget to visit CFRC.ca for the latest in local and regional news headlines, concert and events listings, and more. You can also follow CFRC on Facebook and Instagram at CFRC Music and on Twitter X at CFRC. You can support CFRC and its independent news programming by donating via CFRC.ca. We'll be back next week with more in local and regional news. Thank you for joining us.
CFRC 101.9 FM is so thrilled to announce the launch of our brand new accessible website at CFRC.ca. Get your local news, stream your favorite shows, and stay up to date with upcoming events. You can share news tips, book a recording studio, request a PSA for airplay, and oh so much more. CFRC.ca was made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada and our amazing funding drive donors. Thank you so much.
Welcome. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. This is Cindy. I'm here every Thursday at 5:30. Welcome. Welcome to CFRC. I'm sure you've been listening all day long, maybe even all night long. You're probably enjoying this radio program that you just heard because there's a lot of great information there. Dinah and Jesse and the whole team, they put together great summary of news and events around Kingston and the area, and I just always am impressed to hear what they have put together. Even the lists of events that they talk about at the end of the show, you can always find them out on CFRC.ca. We have a really good page of somebody, I'm not sure who, but whoever is filling that information in, there's always some great things that I want to do every time I read it. So if you've been listening for a long time, and I'm sure you have, I'm sure you are a long time listener, and don't be a first time caller because I can't answer while I'm live on the air. But if you're interested in filling out our CFRC listenership survey, please do so. It is on the main page. There's a link to it. It's our 2024 survey, and it's gone live as of October 21st. We want to hear what your opinions and all of your ideas, really. Share your thoughts about our programming, what you love most, and what you would like to hear in the future, more of, perhaps. How can our campus community radio station best serve your radio listening needs? It's a 3 to 4 minute survey. It's not a big deal. Participants can also enter to win a prize, including a gift card from Smokes Poutinery, Uber Eats, and even an air fryer, which is pretty cool. I have one. I love it. I make the best pork chops in this air fryer. I don't know why. Well, I do because it's pretty easy and it doesn't dry it out. We're also offering Smokes Poutinery coupons to survey participants who drop by our tables and booths at various events, which is kind of nice. It's a $50 gift card that we're offering to do this survey. Like, you could win it. You don't actually get it right away as soon as it's over. But I think it's worth spending 3 to 4 minutes of your time answering some questions about this wonderful station and all the good things about it. So please go to CFRC.ca. It's on the main page, and there's a link right there straight to the survey. I encourage you, please fill it out. Give us some feedback and like constructive feedback as well would be appreciated because there's always room to improve. I say that all the time to, well, mostly my friends. No, I say that to myself in the mirror. There you go. But why don't we listen to some comedy instead of, I don't know, talking? That's probably the best idea because you're not here to listen to me. I have a couple of things up later. I have some David Drake, and he's going to talk about his moving company days. But we're going to start off with Alex McKenzie. He's going to talk about, I don't know, living in a van. Oh, and as I always say, if I forgot to bleep a swear word or if you find the topic a little offensive in any way, We apologize. I apologize. Everybody at CFRC apologizes. We're not here to offend you in any way. I do my very best to bleep every time when I go over the things I've selected. But I can miss things. I'm human. I know. I know that's hard to believe, but yes, I am. And I apologize if I have forgotten to bleep something and you get offended. And, you know, it says comedy is very subjective and there are things that would offend me that wouldn't offend you, I'm sure. yeah, if I've forgotten, again, CFRC apologizes. So here's Alex McKenzie on CFRC 101.9 FM and Absolutely Frivolous. Here he is. Keep tuning in every Thursday at 5:30. Thanks.
Prince George, how are you guys doing? Oh my God, thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. This is amazing. Beautiful. So you guys, for those of you that don't know me, my name's Alex. I've been described as a happiness cheerleader. Yeah, kind of like a Labrador Retriever. So if anyone here needs anything, let me know. I'd love to go get it for you, all right? Now, people also tell me that I look like a shitty version of everybody. Yeah, dude, I get like Russell Brand with a lisp. Yeah. Or like a Wish.com Jason Momoa. Yeah, dude, before I lost weight, people called me Fat Jon Snow. Yeah. And now I lost the weight. No one says I'm the hot, sexy version. But my favorite one, you guys, is Jesus with a day job. Yeah. Dude, I thought about it, right? I'm like, me and Jesus have more in common than how we look, right? Like, both of us go around talking to people, trying to gain a following. The difference is, I do stand-up comedy, and I actually wrote my own material. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus was just doing a book tour for his dad. Yeah. So, you guys, I grew up here in Prince George. It's very beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I love it. So, it's like a, yeah, that's my guy. Yeah, dude, so fun. Dude, it's so fun. So this is like, you can probably tell by the people yelling out, this is like a small town in northern BC, but now I live in one of our biggest cities, so I'm like a domesticated hillbilly. Yeah, like I'll wear a three-piece suit to go siphon gas. Yeah. And then I'll sell the gas to go buy a non-milk milk latte. Now because of this, I have like two different groups of friends, right? I got like my city friends, and then I have my hillbilly friends. And I will tell you guys, my hillbilly friends are my funnest friends, dude. Yeah. Like, if both groups are planning an activity and you can only go with one, go with the hillbillies every time. Dude, they're so much funner. They'll do way cooler shit. They'll be like, dude, let's pull our money together, go buy an old car and flip it in the gravel pit. That's where all my city friends will be like, let's start a podcast. I'm like, I hope our podcast blows up. My hillbilly buddies are like, dude, I hope this car blows up. You ever heard of Tannerite? It's like C4, but you need a bullet. It's so fun, dude. You can even give them the same activity, like same item, you know? Like if you give them each like a stack of pallets, my city buddies would be like, ooh, let's do a Pinterest project and build a bed. As where all my hillbilly friends are like, let's light it on fire and jump it with dirt bikes. And the reason why hillbillies are so much funner, it's very simple. It's because they're willing to do unsafe shit, right? Because the less safe something is, the funner it is, right? Like, we've all been to the fair. What's the funnest ride at the fair? The zipper, exactly. The one that looks like it's going to fall apart, right? Because you don't know how it's going to end, and that's exciting. And if a hillbilly's not willing to do something unsafe, very, very easy to swing him. All you got to do, you just take a step back, cross your arms, and go, what, are you scared? He goes, no, bro, I'm not scared. I'm just a little tired from banging your girlfriend last night. That's all. So it's pretty fun. So I'm, oh, boy. So I'm 34 years old, you guys. I live in a van. Yeah. Dude. Amazing. Yeah. People always ask me, dude, they're like, what's it like to live in a van? If you want to know, go into any room in your house, shut the door. Now, live in that. And then when you're like, this sucks, I want out, you can't. Now, I'm in like a super weird age to be living in a van because I'm in my like mid-30s. So it's like, you know, I'm too old to be like the 20-year-olds that are like flip-flopping in their board shorts, like van life. But I'm too young to be like the old people who like missed out on their whole life. So they're like, we bought a van to try and make up for lost time. So now I'm just in this weird middle ground where people are like, he's poor. You know? I mean, that's how they used to look at me. But now with inflation and these gas prices, oh, dude, people look at me like I'm loaded. Yeah. They're like, check out Mr. Bezos over there in his land yacht. Yeah, cruising, buddy. Dude, so it's so fun. Like, I didn't always live in a van. I used to own a house, and it sucked, dude. They're, like, so expensive, and, like, it's always breaking. It was like the fridge would quit, the roof was leaking. My house was the only thing I know of that had more problems than me. Yeah. So I sold it, bought a van. Turns out all the problems a house can have, yeah, so can a van. And now your problems follow you. Which is a nice feature about a house, you guys. It's always where you left it, right? Dude, last summer my van got impounded. It was so embarrassing. I had to call my mom, and I was like, Mom, you're never going to believe this, but I live in a gated community now. It's so fun. I live in my van with my dog, Finley. He's a little chocolate lab, dude. Oh, I love him. He's a sweetheart, man. He's the best. But because he's a lab, he, like, sheds all the time. So I always have to, like, lint roller my clothes. And I think lint rollering your clothes in front of your dog is like taking your wedding ring off in front of your wife, you know? Because he's just looking at me and he's like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, are you going to see other dogs or something? You don't want him knowing you got a good dog at home? And that's my favorite game to play with my dog. It's like I just look at him and I go like, what are you thinking, you know? It's the best. And it's like, I think both of us think each other are weirdos, you know? Because I'm like, he must think I'm weird that I like follow him around and like pick up his poo, right? He's like, why does he do that? But at the same time, like, I think he's weird because he cleans up my puke, you know? So who's to say who the weird one here is, right? Yeah. Now, I always think it's funny with dogs because we love them so much. But, like, they've done nothing. Like, my dog hasn't said a word in 13 years, you know? We just love them. Like, if that was your partner, they would be the most deadbeat partner of all time, right? Like, you go to work all day. You come home, and they're just sitting there like, hey, what's for dinner? By the way, I shit on the floor. But we just love them so much. And I've come up with, like, two reasons why I think we love dogs so much. And the first reason is they rarely complain, right? Like, my dog, he can be, like, 3 a.m. He could be in a dead sleep. I could walk over to him, just smack him in the belly, and be like, get up, we're going. And he's like, whoa, sorry, Dad, what are we doing? And I'm like, you do that to a friend, he's going to have at least 3 questions for you, right? He's going to be like, why did you hit me? Where are we going? And why are you naked? Now, the other reason why we love dogs is because we have such low expectations of them, right? Like, my dog can do the most pedestrian a task. Like, if I only have to call him 3 times and he comes, I'm like, wow, Finley, you're so smart. You're just so smart that compared to what, a stapler? Like, if that was your kid, he'd be a moron, you know? 13 years old, barely knows his name, can't sit still, s*** in the house. You're like, what are you doing? No, it's funny because I live with my dog in my van. My buddies, every time I come home, my buddies are always like, dude, you must, like, pick up so many chicks, like, touring around the country in your van with your dog doing comedy. Like, let me give you guys a little tip, okay? If you want to pick up chicks, I'm like, don't quit your job, sell your house, and then move into one on wheels, okay? Do you know how hard it is to get a girl into a white van? With tinted windows. Like, they've been warned about this their whole life. And I'm like, but don't worry, miss, there's a puppy inside.
Did you know that CFRC 101.9 FM also has social media? Check us out on Twitter at CFRC for the latest program and news updates.
recognize that sound? That's the sound of a healthy, well-cared-for cat. I truly hope you've been lucky enough to hear that sound before. The feral cat population around Kingston and the surrounding areas has grown considerably over the last few years. And thanks to organizations like Kendra's Community Kitties, these feral cats are being fed, medically cared for, spayed, neutered, flea treated, dewormed, given winter shelters, and placed in loving homes whenever possible.
Hundreds of these special animals have been rescued by Kendra, and many of these wonderful felines are purring right now, safe and healthy.
But rescuing and rehoming feral cats isn't easy. It requires an enormous amount of time and effort, and there are a few ways you can help.
You can donate to Kendra's Community Kitties on their website, kckitties.com. Even a small amount will help pay for medication, spay and neutering procedures, and food and supplies to keep these felines sheltered and healthy in the cold winters or extreme heat of the summer. Because some of these kitties are not socialized, Kendra has committed herself to provide 22 dishes of food with fresh water every day, 365 days a year, to six feral colonies. Food prices have increased significantly, so donations of food and money are always needed. Funding assists with the process of finding homes for these cats as well, as it takes time and money to find the right individual or family to be matched with the right kind of cat. You can become a foster family for our feline friends. Go to kckitties.com and learn how you can care for and love a cat or even a family of kittens until they can be moved into their forever homes. At the colonies, Kendra plants the seeds of trust and socializes the feral felines when she brings them food at the same time each and every single day. So they're more accepting of humans when placed with foster families. But fostering a feral cat is no easy task. Kendra cannot take these cats from the colonies unless there are foster homes willing to commit to help these kitties gain trust with humans.
You can adopt one of these special cats or kittens. If you've already been thinking of getting a furry friend, reach out to Kendra at kckitties.com and she'll provide you with all the information you need to make this important decision.
Any help you can offer Kendra's Community Kitties will be tremendously appreciated, not only by Kendra, but by the lucky feral felines she rescues.
And hey, maybe, just maybe, one day you'll get to hear...
Panda, say I love you!
Hey, this is very exciting for me. I've been doing this unsuccessfully for 13 years. Thank you. Oh my. You guys excited about that? Every day that goes by, I'm like, am I gonna make no money for a whole life? Like a bird? A lizard? Or a beetle. Yeah, here's where my career's at. I'll do your podcast. You got a podcast, I'm on it. You can't keep me off your podcast. I want on that podcast. I got this email the other day, and it was like, hey, Dave, you want to do our podcast? I didn't even finish the email. I was like, yes, I'm doing your podcast. Of course. Of course I'll be there. And then it's the night of the big podcast, and I'm out with some of my best friends in the world, and they have drugs, and I say no to those. I'm like, I got a podcast. And then I hop in a $40 Uber back to my apartment, and I go into my daughter's bedroom, and I pull open my laptop, and I hit the Zoom link for the podcast, and up pops the Zoom, and I am face-to-face with three 15-year-old boys. Oh, no! I've agreed to do a child's podcast. not again! I podcasted with children for an hour and a half in my daughter's bedroom. And they didn't even really include me that much. It was like kind of insidery, like they were like shitting on their history teacher, and then occasionally I'd chime in like, yeah, school blows. Take from me, the grown man you're hanging out with online. School sucks. No, on school. podcast ends because one of the kids' moms came into the bedroom and she was like, hey, it's time for bed, so you gotta wrap it up, whatever it is you're doing. And then she looked at the computer screen where I am, and I just shut my I was like, no! I will not be looking a mother in the eyes tonight. Because, like, even if she doesn't think I'm a predator, there's, like, no way to explain what I actually am. I'm a comedian, and I thought I could raise my comedy profile on your boys' podcast. And, you know, never mind. I groom children for sex on the internet. I prefer you think that than the horrible, awful truth. What is actually going on in your son's bedroom? Yeah. Entertainment's all about who you know. And I have three kids in Ohio. Yeah. I know 26 guys who all work for the same illegal moving company. Entertainment's an amazing way to get into illegal residential moving. I do work for a moving company, and it is illegal. We get paid under the table cash, which is appealing to artists like myself, and then also hardened criminals. So I don't always love the guy I'm working with. The guy I was working with last week, he gets in the truck, immediately dives into his nightmare, awful life, which I didn't ask for. He just took it upon himself to reveal to me. He's like, man, I got these four kids, and I had them from two different sex workers, and me and all four kids live in my mother's basement, and I'm currently in two custody battles with both of those sex workers. And then the rest of the day is just complaining about these women. He's like, aren't these women crazy? Aren't they crazy? I'm like, hey, man, you know what's crazy? Is that all the choices you've made in your life and all the choices I've made in my life have led us to the exact same place. That's what I find a little crazy. Now, your stupid story. That following your dreams can look so close to destroying your life. He also had a moving truck tattooed to his wrist. I was like, hey, what's that about? He's like, oh, you know how like chefs have like a knife? Different thing, don't know. A chef will tattoo a knife on his arm to show that, hey, I know how to cook. A mover will tattoo a truck on his arm to show, I don't know anything. I can identify a box and then I know I just put it on the truck. Put it on a truck. This box goes on a truck. One of those boxes.
CFRC is active on every social media platform. Check us out at CFRC Radio on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And on Twitter at CFRC.
Traveling moon, yes I am. Oh, I'm so lonesome now. I tell you, I am in a traveling moon. Guess I'll have to hop a freight to California. 'Cause I've got the traveling blues, yes kiss I have. Sometimes I feel like walking on. Well, I have no walking shoes, no, no. Well, time I feel like walking now. I tell you, I've got no walking shoes, believe me. That's why I've got to hop a freight to California. Cause I've got the traveling blues. Cause I keep drifting and drifting. Yeah, yeah. Like a ship out on the sea. I keep drifting and drifting now, like a ship out on the sea. Well, you see, I ain't got nobody in this world to care for me. If my baby, if my baby would only take me back again, oh, now if my baby now, would only take me back again. Well, I may not be good for nothing, baby, but you see, I haven't got no friends. Play it, sir. Yeah. Say, oh, it's too late to cry.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest